Father, God, I pray that you'd help us this morning as we come to hear from your word. God, it's another Sunday. It can seem so routine, so mundane. Or just another day that could so easily be forgotten. Father, I pray that you'd write your word upon our hearts. You'd fulfill that new covenant promise. You would do so. Father, I pray that you'd help me to speak clearly as I ought, not confusing speech, Lord, handling your word rightly. Father, help us to hear. Help us to pay attention this morning, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on in. Come on. Welcome. Okay, so here we are. We're in our 12th class of the How to Grow series. Today we're going to be doing perseverance. So if some of you remember earlier this year, I taught on a particular topic within the general topic of perseverance. I taught on perseverance of the saints, which is a specific application, I guess if you will, of perseverance. So I'm going to be drawing from some of those things this morning, And if you want to go ahead and turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll be looking at verses 5 through 11 starting off. Now, I'm going to wait to define what perseverance is until I've gone through this section here in 2 Peter. And I'm going to give just kind of a running commentary as I go through this up until the point when I define it for us. Okay, so 2 Peter chapter 1, I'll wait. Okay. So, starting at verse 5. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control, here's our word, perseverance. Other versions, they have steadfastness or patience, endurance. These are all synonymous with one another. They're words that have the same meaning or close meaning. But steadfastness, patience, endurance. So in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities, well, that's one of the first things I want to point out, these qualities. These qualities, brethren, I'm not just going to rip out perseverance and lift it up as if it were the most important thing in this list here. All of these are important. You can see all of these qualities here as if they were chains or links to a chain which go together. You can see it as if it were a bike chain. They all have to be linked together in order for the power to go from the pedals to the wheel to get the bike moving. They're all important. They're all necessary. But we're going to be looking at one of these links, the link of perseverance. So that's the first thing I want to point out. Secondly, this is a quality we are to have as Christians. Now, I've been a Christian for about 9 years, and I don't think I've ever had anybody talk about this as something that is on their list of things they're pursuing. If somebody says, typically I'll hear things like, well, I'm struggling to love this person, or I'm struggling with patience, or I'm struggling with self-control, but I never really hear people talk about, I really lack in perseverance. I really lack in steadfastness and endurance. It's something that people don't, it's not really high on their list of virtues. It's not something that's on their radar generally. So hopefully this morning it'll be helpful in putting it at the forefront of our minds and showing why it is important. But this is a quality, it is a virtue. So going back to the text, for these qualities are yours and are increasing. They render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. And the second thing to note is that this perseverance, this endurance, this steadfastness is something that we, with all diligence, are to be seeking to supply to our faith. We're to be seeking to add these things. Brethren, if you don't have these things, you're going to see the results of it. You'll be blind. You'll be short-sighted. You'll be a forgetful Christian. You'll be someone who is useless to God. You'll be someone who is unfruitful in the knowledge of God that you do have. Having these qualities, perseverance included, is something that will make you fruitful to God. It is something that will make you useful to God. You say, I want to be useful. I want to be fruitful to God. I don't want to be blind. I don't want to be short-sighted. You're going to need to grow in perseverance amongst all these qualities. So if these things are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Now, I want you to keep that in mind, never stumble. I'm going to answer or show the importance of how, or the relationship that perseverance has in regards to keeping us from stumbling. Among all these other virtues, how they keep us actually from stumbling. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Now, for the definition of perseverance, I've been talking some things about perseverance. We've seen that synonymous with endurance, synonymous with steadfastness. It'll make us fruitful. It'll make us useful. It'll keep us from stumbling. But what is it? In my first teaching that I did earlier this year, it was a two-part series, I defined perseverance as the quality of applying continual effort and endurance to complete a goal or finish a task in spite of all distractions, hardships, length of time, and persuasions to the contrary. Read it again. The quality of applying continual effort and endurance to complete a goal or finish a task in spite of all distraction, hardships, length of time, and persuasions to the contrary. Now, we have to ask, okay, so what's the big deal about this? Why is perseverance necessary? Why is it so important? Well, brethren, we can just think, how's it going to keep us from stumbling? We can look at these other virtues and see how they're important. We can see how somebody who has patience is going to be kept from stumbling. And you look at an instance, or how often have you heard it said, I wish I'd just been more patient with that person. If I'd been more patient with that person, I wouldn't have said this, or I wouldn't have done this. You see, their lack of patience provided an opportunity for them to stumble in saying something they shouldn't, or having done something they shouldn't have. Or a lack of knowledge. That was one of these chains, or that was one of the link on this chain, is knowledge. You can see how people often say, man, if I had known this, I would never have done this stupid, sinful thing. That knowledge would have kept them from stumbling. So in the same way, perseverance will keep us from stumbling. Now, but how exactly is that? How exactly does perseverance keep us from stumbling? Brother, one of the things I want to say is let's just consider our day and our age. We live in a society where everything is instant. You want coffee? You can just throw in one of those little Keurig things and you've got coffee in like 30 seconds. You don't have to grow the beans. You don't have to grind. You don't have to roast them to perfection. You don't have to do all the preparation just to have a cup of coffee. You don't have to wait months and months and months on end, as many people throughout history up until recent history have had to do. You can just have it right there and you're good to go. We have instant everything, instant microwaves, instant popcorn, instant whatever. Brother, we rarely have to persevere or endure things in life to gain something, to accomplish a goal. Okay, we'll ignore that.
It's a drill. They're doing a drill.
Okay. It's kind of distracting. Okay, so in our day and age, everything is instant. Brother, think about how if somebody had perseverance, it would prevent them from stumbling. Just think about marriage. In our day and age, the divorce rate's like 48, 50-something percent. A lot of that is because people do not have perseverance, nor do they have that expectation. They're short-sighted. They don't recognize the endurance that's going to be needed to have a marriage be successful. They get into marriage, the feelings go away, problems come up, and instead of having perseverance and truly showing love, truly enduring in love, they say, well, God wouldn't want me to be happy, so He probably doesn't want me to stay in this marriage. I'm going to go marry this lady at work that, man, I love her now, we're great. So that's what God wants, because God wants me to be happy. They lack knowledge, they lack perseverance, they lack love, and because of that, it brings them to the place where they do something God hates. They leave their wife, they leave their family for this other woman. If they had perseverance, it would have kept them from stumbling by going in that direction. Same thing, you can see, I've heard it over and over again, some women in their singleness, even Christian sisters, not wanting to wait on God, not wanting to persevere in that, thinking that they have to take matters into their own hands, they'll go and marry the first Prince Charming that comes along. And they forget that charm is deceitful, and they find out they married Prince Deceitful. How often you've heard it over, they ignore the counsel of their elders or their parents, and they marry a man because they didn't want to wait, they didn't want to persevere in seeking the Lord. They end up in a situation that's far worse than if they stayed single. But because of their lack of perseverance, their lack of willingness to wait, they end up stumbling. It ends up becoming a stumbling block. So in this way, perseverance keeps us from stumbling. You have to persevere through this distraction. We're going to persevere through this. Don't worry. So, brethren, also think how most things in life worth having, it's going to take time to accomplish them. Anthony's pursuing a degree. He's going to have to persevere through the classes. He's going to have to persevere through learning the math, learning the electronics, doing the electromagnetic theory, and learning new things that he's never learned before. He's going to have to persevere for however many years to get that degree. It requires perseverance, and if he just drops out, he's not going to get the degree. Same thing with learning an instrument. A lot of people, they'll start thinking, man, I'm going to be able to play all these amazing songs and it's going to be quick like that. And then they get into it and they realize, man, this is really boring. I can't even play Mary Had a Little Lamb. I'm making all these mistakes. I'm done with this. They don't persevere in it. And so that prevents them from attaining something that would later on be a benefit and a pleasure to them. Perseverance is that which will enable us to gain, it'll help us to gain that which we're seeking. Perseverance is the thing that allow you to see through your labors and to continue on till it brings and fully bears fruit. Rather than if this is true in life, it's especially true in our spiritual life. It's true especially in Christianity, brethren. It's no different. So we'll go ahead and consider how perseverance is necessary in the Christian life. And we'll consider a few things. This will by no means be an exhaustive list, but consider, brethren. Consider how perseverance is necessary in prayer, how it's expected in prayer. You see this in Luke 11. Brethren, Jesus often taught on the need to persevere in prayer. How often he says it in Matthew and in Luke, in separate places, at separate times, in separate circumstances, ask and it will be given to you. And he says that in the present tense, keep asking. For those who are asking, it will be given to them. The expectation is that you will persevere in asking until it is granted to you. If you don't persevere in asking, chances are you're not going to be giving. James said you don't have because you don't ask. Persevere, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. You see in the parables that Jesus taught about the persistent friend that comes to his friend at night, knocks on the door and he says, go away, my children are in bed, I'm in bed. But he keeps on knocking, he perseveres. He doesn't say, well, I don't want to bother him, so I'm going to go away. But rather he presses on and bothering his friend until his friend gets up and gives him all that he needs. It was his perseverance that enabled him to get what he sought. Brethren, it's the same way in prayer. And you're praying, expect that some things you are going to have to pray for days and weeks and months and years and decades to obtain them. George Mueller, he prayed for numerous friends for decades before God finally saved them. Before they finally came to Christ, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years in some cases. But he prayed for them faithfully and daily, and he saw the fruition of that. He saw God answer his prayers. But perseverance, brethren, the Lord taught that it is needed. it's needed. If there's things that you have been praying for, but you've given up, the Lord wants you to keep praying for them so long as they're within His will. And there's a lot of things, brethren, that are within His will. The salvation of your friends and family, growth in godliness, growth in grace, growth in all the virtues of the Christian life. God wants you to be asking for those things, pursuing those things. And you need perseverance to pray effectively. So perseverance. Let's consider reading and meditating on God's Word. You see this in Joshua 1:8. The expectation is given to Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. It's not the person that is faithful in their Bible reading plan for a week and then kind of just stops reading for the rest of the year that's going to be prosperous in his way. It's not the person that just reads a little bit and then they get the rest of their Christianity from Facebook pictures and Bible verse snippets. That's not the person that's going to be prosperous in all their ways. It's going to be the person that is in God's Word, meditating on it, reading it, storing it in their heart day and night as a lifetime practice that is to be endured, that is to be persevered in. When it's joyful and when it's dry, persevere on in it. Persevere, that's the expectation. That is what will bring success into your life as a Christian. And so often, I mean, Jesse's been harping on it in these last two classes about bearing spiritual fruit. God meets us in the consistent daily use of the means of grace. It's persevering therein that will bring about that fruit. So that's reading. We can see how it's useful, necessary in God's Word in order to produce fruit in our life. Another one is doing good. Doing good. We have to have perseverance in doing good. And then doing the will of God. Galatians 6, 9 and 10 says, let us not lose heart in doing good. What happens if when you start to lose heart? You want to give up. Your hands hang limp spiritually. Your knees start to buckle. You start to say, what's the point? What's the next thing? You're just going to give up. You're going to leave off. You see someone that's difficult to love. You see somebody that's difficult to take care of. Maybe an aging parent. Or maybe a sibling of yours or a son and daughter of yours is being very difficult. It's hard to love them. You begin to grow weary. You begin to think, what's the point of sharing the gospel with that person anymore? What's the point of praying for that person anymore? You begin to grow weary. You begin to lose heart, and the next thing is you'll give up. But what's the promise here in Galatians 6, 9 and 10? Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So often, brethren, it's like you're doing good for people and you don't see the results. You're preaching to people, and it's like you're preaching, and then you find out they have a struggle that week that has directly everything to do with what you preached on Sunday, and they weren't even paying attention. And it's like, why am I even up here doing this? I don't even remember what I preached on Sunday. What good is this? Why am I doing this? This seems so vain. But do not grow weary in doing good. You need perseverance to press on because it is the Lord that you're serving. You're ultimately serving God. You're not serving primarily men. You're not serving primarily others. It is God whom you serve, and He is faithful to not forget your works and the love which you have shown His name in serving His people and serving all men and seeking to advance His cause, to advance His name, to lift Him up. He doesn't forget those things. And you will reap. God has promised it. There's coming a day in which He will reward every man for the good which he has done. And to those who by perseverance in doing good are seeking glory and honor and immortality, God will grant it to them on that day. Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of endurance. Why? So that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. Brethren, doing the will of God is going to require endurance. Just look at the Lord Jesus Christ. You see Him there. He's in the garden. He's sweating as if it were great drops of blood, crying out, Abba, Father, if there is any other way, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but your will be done. Brethren, he looked at that cross. He saw the shame of it. But behind it, he saw the glory that was behind it. And seeing that glory, beholding that glory, beholding the reward, he pressed on. He went up on that cross and he accomplished the work for which God sent him to do. The Father sent him to accomplish salvation for his people, to redeem for himself a people, to carry out the plan that the Father, before the foundation of the world, had laid out, and the Son was sent to accomplish that. And brethren, he endured, he pressed on, he persevered, despite the fact that nobody received him, very few people received him. He was spit on, he was mocked on, he was called a demon, he was thought crazy by his own family. The religious leaders tried to kill him over and over again. They slandered his name. And he bore the wrath, the displeasure of his own Father, separated communion when he was on that cross, but he pressed through and he finished that work. He displayed perseverance and endurance. And brethren, if you're going to do the will of God, mark it down now. If you're going to be like Christ, there are going to be things that you have to endure through as a Christian that are not going to be fun. It's going to be hard to obey God. It's going to be difficult to obey God. It is going to cost you. That's why Christ said, let every man count the cost if he would come after me. Christianity will cost you. But brethren, I can tell you this. God is such that he rewards his people with a quality of life that far outweighs the cost of obedience. Brethren, nobody who obeys God is going to look back in the end and think, man, I was a fool for doing that. I was a fool for paying the price that I did. It's like Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Brethren, doing the will of God will require endurance. It will require costly obedience at times. Brethren, the reward is well worth it. You will receive the very things that God has promised. And if you do not press on, there is no reward for not pressing on. There is no reward for not enduring. And this goes into the next thing. Eternal life itself requires endurance. Now, this is kind of what I touched on when I did the perseverance of the saints, that we as Christians are saved by faith alone in Jesus Christ. We're not saved by any good thing that we do. And this entrance into the life of faith, this entrance into faith in Christ, begins a lifetime of believing the Lord Jesus Christ and growing in that faith. This faith, it's not a one-time faith that fizzles out, but you're still justified even if it fizzles out and you go back. There's a wrong idea of once saved, always saved, and I've seen the bad results of it is, you can believe, and once you believe, you're saved no matter what, even if you lose your faith. Even if you go aside and become an atheist, you're still going to heaven, because once you're God's child, there's nothing you can do. You're in. Rather, that's not how the Scriptures speak to us. It speaks that our faith must endure, it must persevere, it must continue to be in Jesus Christ alone, firm unto the end. And if you are moved away, if you are moved aside and you begin to place your hope in any other thing, or if you begin to shrink back from God, back to the world, there is no salvation for you. We see this in Colossians 1. Although you were formerly alienated, this is Colossians 1, 21 through 23. Although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. And right here he pauses. There's a long dash right here in the text. And then he says, if indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established, and steadfast, there's our word, perseverance, steadfast. You have to continue on in the faith, steadfast, with perseverance. And that's the only way. You're saved by faith if you continue believing. And are not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven. And lastly, just read Hebrews 10:39 here. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. The preserving of the soul. The true Christian, as I strove to show in the perseverance of the saints, is one who has a faith that is such a nature that it will endure. It's not a faith that they produce of their own flesh, of their own mind, of their own intellect, but it is a faith that God gives them. It is a God-given faith with an entirely different nature than anything that the flesh could counterfeit or produce. And that faith that he gives them, it will persevere. It will bear fruit. Brethren, that does not negate our responsibility to continue to use the means diligently as we're enabled, and to find the grace that God gives through them to endure. So, I've talked how perseverance is necessary in prayer, in God's Word, in doing good, in eternal life for itself. Now, hopefully that has produced something of a sense of, this is important, I need this. Hopefully, at least that little thing is, okay, I need perseverance. It's something that wasn't on my radar, but now it is. I need to look at this more carefully. Now the question is how do we go about getting perseverance? From where does it come? What's the wellspring from which it springs forth? And the answer should not at all surprise you. Romans 15, 5 through 6. Now may the God who gives perseverance. So the NASB has a little note there that says the God of perseverance is the literal translation. So it's either may the God who gives perseverance, or a more literal translation, the God of perseverance. You say, well, which one? Well, brethren, they're both consistent. God gives things that are consistent with his nature. God teaches us to love because God is love. God sends forth light through the unfolding of his word into our hearts because God himself is light. God gives things that are consistent with his nature. So God giving perseverance shows that he is indeed the God of perseverance. They're both consistent with one another. May the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. Brethren, you want perseverance. Shocker, surprise of all surprise, it comes from God. James says it well, that every good thing and every perfect gift given comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. This is something that if you are going to have to get this, you're going to have to go to God directly for it. That's, brethren, it's what Jesse has been saying over and over again. The Word of God, prayer, the means which God uses, and the thing which he meets with us in to give us the graces that we need. These things that we've been speaking of here, God gives you the perseverance that you are going to need to endure. It comes from him. Hosea 14:8, and Jesse's going to be getting into this in John 15, the vine and the branches, but you see an Old Testament shadow of it here. O Ephraim, what more have I to do with idols? It is I who look after you. I'm like a luxuriant cypress. From me comes your fruit. Jesse will get in more into the abiding in Christ. But that's what it is. It's going to be abiding in Christ. It's going to be, this fruit is coming from God. It is coming from him. You have to look to him for it. You have to pray, God, help me endure. Help me persevere. Help my feet stay fast in the paths which you have marked out in your word. Help me to cling to you. That was one of the things that God noted about Hezekiah, is it says he clung to the Lord. He did not depart from keeping his commandments. Brethren, God, he didn't just throw that in there as an afterthought. That was something that specifically and particularly stuck out about Hezekiah, this righteous king, one of the most righteous kings in all of Israel's history. It was saying that he clung to the Lord. It's like a man clinging on to the side of a cliff, refusing to let go, knowing that if he lets go, he's going to drop to his death. That's how it is with the believer. They cling to God, from whom comes their help. And they do not depart from that. That's where perseverance will come from. It is from the Lord.